The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thank you once again for joining us. I'm Paul Orlowski, as you just heard them say, and this is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our guest today is Father Ted Marzell. Father, we've known one another a long time. You had a lot of interesting jobs.
I have.
Retired priest now down at St. Monica's.
I'm actually not retired yet. Yeah. It's called a senior parochial vicar, but for all practical purposes, that's what I am.
They get a lot of masses and a lot of service out of the retired priests of the Diocese of Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Your father, truly a true Clevelander, every stretch of the word, the ethnic roots of Cleveland. Tell me, where'd you grow up?
I grew up on East 36th Street between Payne and Superior Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, there was a Serbian Orthodox church that was on the street. On the corner, there was a Byzantine church, St. Nicholas, and I would go to St. Josephat's, which was a Polish church, a very small place, mm-hmm. on 33rd between Superior and St. Clair. That was my neighborhood. As a matter of fact, I would go downtown, and I would go shopping with my dad at to the Central Market, right where Progressive Field is right now.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of an interesting time.
The stained glass from St. Joseph's is at St. Joseph's in Avon Lake. Right
That's
now,
correct.
My church.
That's correct. Yeah. And the Stations of the Cross from that same parish mm-hmm. is in Valley City.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And the new church in Valley City.
So tell me about your family, because there are several vocations in your family.
Right. I'm the oldest of four. I have twin sisters. Bob is the next child in line, and then Marilyn and Margaret. Marilyn's married, and Margaret is part of the Humility of Mary congregation. And I have a first cousin who is over at Marymount, the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Third Order of St. Francis.
Sister Kenneth. I know from the cathedral.
That's
her
right.
days is the kind of running the place in a way.
Yeah, she did, yes.
For many, many years. Yeah. What a sense of humor.
She's doing fine now. She's at the convent, and she has some physical challenges right now, but she's doing fine.
And
she comes to the 9 o'clock Mass every Sunday at St. Monica's, so we get a chance to see her.
Yeah. How did the idea of a vocation, a religious vocation, when did it first start entering your consciousness?
Probably when I was a child. I remember going to church with my father. He was an usher in the parish, and I would sit on the side and I would watch the priest, and I'd say, I'd like to do that sometime, but maybe not like the way he's doing it, you know. And I was a little precocious in those days. And then my cousin, another cousin, said, didn't you want to become a priest? This was at the end of high school. And we saw it in the Universe Bulletin. I sent the little card in, and they sent me a letter, and that's how it all started. So in the fall of 1960, I went over to Borromeo.
So it was literally an ad, if you want to be a priest, apply.
Yes. A little different than what they're doing today.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
How many in your went entered?
Oh, that's interesting. I'll tell you, we ordained 34 guys in 1968.
Okay.
And many of them left the active ministry. The 60s and early 70s were really challenging times for all of us. And at times you question yourself, you know, with some of the things mm-hmm. that were going on. The other thing was, my first assignment was out in Lorraine. And about 14 months after I was there, the pastor died.
Oh, boy.
We found them in the tub on my birthday, no less.
Oh, boy.
And then about 12 months later, the second pastor died. So some of the pastors were saying, I don't really want you around if I don't I don't think you'd be good. So the third guy came, the third priest came in, and he was, we had a good relationship. Nothing happened.
Nothing. He made it, huh?
Yeah.
Tell me about the days at the seminary. Academically, it's very challenging, and it's you're being asked to enter a very difficult form of life. And
we didn't think about it in those days, if you understand, Paul.
Okay.
I mean, it was just... I mean, you did it because that's what you wanted to do. We were confined there, literally. We had a walk day once a week. And I know it's a little different than when Joe Mankhouse probably told you about things.
He did.
But it was different. We didn't have cars. So we depended on other kinds of transportation, et cetera, et cetera. But what happened was we became very creative. We would put on plays like Mikado when we were there, and a couple of other plays. And I mean, very creative. It just forced us to be creative. And then we did some artistic stuff like mosaics and stuff like that. And I did play a little basketball. I'm not really that good at the sports, but I did. And then then later on played some handball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would guess, though, that performance element of things is probably translates well to parish life.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to be creative, that's for
sure.
Oh,
no, really. Yeah, that's true. So I was, like I said, ordained in 68 and young and dumb. But we kept on learning. We learned very quickly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, challenges during the time, did you ever doubt your calling, or did you ever wonder if you should continue?
No. I mean, there were times where it wasn't that I doubted myself. It was just... some of the challenges that were there at the time, especially on that first assignment. And I think I grew from that. Mm-hmm. I grew from the deaths of those two priests because I was made administrator at this early age. I mean, now today it's a different story, but in those days that was kind of special. It didn't last long, but I did learn how to do things that I didn't know before.
Yeah. How's the seminary changed in your view? I mean, you're not in there now, but you...
I think for the better. Some of the things that we didn't do that often, I mean, if you had a mental problem or some kind of thing that you needed to do some work on, you'd be afraid to ask about it, you know? And mm-hmm. if you had something, you'd talk to the spiritual director. And today, it's a lot different. There's no fear of that. I mean, you have advisors, you have all of those things. In those days, we did not have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was a different time and a different era, you know? I mean, you were able to talk to family sometimes. You know,
sure.
But you couldn't, and some of them can't do that today because they don't have the structured families.
Yeah. The world is changing, that's for sure.
It sure has.
Father Ted Marzell, stay with us. We'll be back with more on God Calling right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Each and every week we try to answer that question. What is God calling you to do? With Father Ted Marzell, it was a call to the seminary and priesthood.
Yes.
And Father, you talked about challenges early on, and then you continued to grow. Where did you go after your first assignment?
After my first assignment, after 6 years at Nativity, I went to Cleveland Central Catholic as a chaplain, mm-hmm. living at the Carmelite Monastery in Cleveland Heights.
All right.
That year was a growth year. I went from the craziness of a high school, being a chaplain there, to this quiet of the monastery.
Sort of a place.
But I was able to finish up a master's degree for the seminary at that time. And I got myself interested more into spirituality. At the end of that particular year, I was able to go overseas to study spirituality at the Gregorian University. So with that, I had, during the summer, I went to California with a 30-day retreat. Now that was really profound. That was exactly profound. And the man that was there really helped me out with a few things. And so some of this stuff I told you the last segment about, we didn't have all of this, mm-hmm. All these different people you could talk to. This particular experience was as really more psychological, emotional, spiritual. I must have lost about 20 pounds there. I did all kind of exercises, and I was still able to do some other stuff that was just, it was very creative at time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that maybe one of the keystones of your life, a turning point?
Or, it was.
Or just a growth?
No,
maybe
no,
a growth.
No, growth. No. It was a turning point because I knew I was going over to Rome and I didn't know what to expect. And going over to Rome, for example, you think all of these very erudite, intelligent people, I was really surprised. But I met some wonderful people. I met a fella, an Italian, and I also we still are friends today. And there was a priest from Poland, from the Archdiocese of Lublin, who we also are very good friends, and we still communicate.
Mm-hmm. You still speak Polish? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. No, I Polish with a Cleveland accent, I suppose. That's what you call it.
I used to always smile. Easter time down at the cathedral, we see the pussy willows.
From the Eastern Church. That was my mother's side of the family.
Exactly. Yeah. What did you do in Rome? What did you
actually? The 2 years that I spent there, I got the license in spirituality, which was a little bit more than the master's. And then I was working toward my doctorate, which mm-hmm. I finished up in 80, but I did that over here. And then went back to defend it in Rome. And it was on Archbishop Paul Hellenin. And Hellenin was a priest from the Diocese of Cleveland and went to Charleston, South Carolina, and then ended up the first Archbishop of Atlanta, Georgia. Mm. And he was involved so much with the Vatican Council, and also his idea of the vernacular in the liturgy was really a big part of what he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I did that. I met some wonderful people like Cardinal Dearden and Sunens I met. And Sunens was the only one that ever said before we started talking, Father, let's pray a little bit before we talk. And
wow.
That was really profound.
I bet.
Yeah.
This all continues, studying, and you went back and forth a couple of times.
I did. And then I went back after I finished the 2 years. I went back to the seminary and did some teaching there. And then Cardinal Hickey, Archbishop Hickey, or Bishop Hickey at the time, asked me to go to the cathedral.
Mm-hmm. As rector?
Just as an assistant.
Okay.
In those days as an assistant. And then about a year later, I became administrator. It was a good time. And that's when I met you, I think.
That's true.
I met you.
A long time ago.
Yeah, that for sure was. And then I was still doing my doctoral paper that he wanted me to finish. And then I got that done in 81. And that's when Bishop Pilla came in. And I was then back at the cathedral until 1992.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so wonderful things happened there. We did some great things as the cathedral ball started, and then now it has turned into the Alleluia ball for Catholic education and the cathedral.
The deep studying, so you've done a lot of studying. The more you do, I mean, you just make your faith more stronger, more solid. Clearly there's intellectual growth, but spiritual too, I would guess.
But with all of this, that's the whole thing, and you got to keep this in mind too sometimes. When you are learning all of this intellectual stuff, it has to get back to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't go back to the heart, I still remember, we're going to go jump back to the seminary one time. We had a man, the rector of the seminary was called us all in because one of the early teacher or theologians left the priesthood. And he was just upset about this. And the man's name was Charles Davis. And maybe some of the people have read some of his books. But the interesting thing was, in my mind, the first thing that came to me was, I'm not judging the man, please. I'm not judging, but oftentimes what happens, if it doesn't go back into the heart and that relationship with God, you lose it. You mm-hmm. know, at least that's my thinking.
Boy, that's just what I was trying to say, but you said it way better. Yeah, but you know, bookwork is bookwork. It's probably like, in some ways, it's like any job.
Yeah.
Book smart, but...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, like you can have somebody that way, and then if they're thrown into a daily situation, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know?
What's your read on the young seminarians coming out? I'm very impressed by them.
I am too. We were lucky at St. Monica's to have ordained this year. Joe Menkaus, you've talked to him, mm-hmm. and just a very fine young priest. The other priests that I have met and the priests that have been there and seminarians are very serious, very dedicated, and that I think is a good sign for the church, even though we don't have that. I mean, not as many as we were, mm-hmm. but I think the few in number are very strong.
You still need a core of educators, teachers in that. Are they maybe taking some guys early away from the parish life? Is there a fear there that they're not spending enough time maybe among the people?
I think it depends on the individual. Mm-hmm. I think some can do that very well. And one of my things is you got to look at the wider picture. And sometimes they're so focused on one thing, they forget that they are parish priests. That's what we were ordained for. Mm-hmm. Now, they can get pulled out of that, but don't lose the parish priest mentality.
Mm-hmm. Father, stay right where you are. I hope our listeners will do the same. We're going to be back with more on God Calling right here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Once again, welcome back. I'm Paul Orlowski with Father Ted Marzell, who is a retired priest at St. Monica's, but I always hesitate to use that word retired priest because they get a good week's
work. We're busy.
and busier maybe than in the past because of, you know, there are fewer priestly vocations. So you're going someplace every weekend, that's for sure, if not every morning.
Well, every morning I'm at St. Monica's, trust me. That's okay. Where we go. And then the weekends are sometimes, like this last weekend I helped out at St. Emmerich's. He needed some help over there. So.
Okay. Well, you were down at the cathedral, and then you left there and then came back to the cathedral. And
I came back, and I stayed there till 92, mm-hmm. All right? In 92, the rector of the seminary in Rome asked if I would come back to be a spiritual director at the North American College.
Okay.
So from 92 to 95, I was spiritual director there, and I have to, God bless Bishop Pilla for saying yes to this, because it was up to him. Well, anyways, as soon as I found out about this, I went to Baz Heron, who was an older priest in the house, and I says, Monsignor, I just got asked to go to Rome to be the spiritual director there. The first thing out of his mouth was, he said, "Did you politic for this?" And you had to know Heron, because he was really a rough kind of guy. And so I said, no. He said, "Then go for it."
Yeah.
Then go for it. And so for those 3 years, it gave me an insight to the seminarians, because they were already, you saw already a change taking place in those 3 years from 92 to 95. It seems far away now. But there was a becoming more traditional in the sense, I remember the first year there, there was not very much Marian devotion and all of that. By 95, we had the rosary outside before lunch on Saturday, and we were doing the Divine Mercy on Sunday, especially for the Feast of Divine Mercy. There was this change that took place. Then in 95, I came back, and I was Bishop Pilla's Master of Ceremonies Secretary, and then I stayed there till 2000. 2000, I went to St. Peter and Paul in Garfield Heights. Mm-hmm. My father was wonderfully happy about that, because I went to a Polish parish with a Polish school, and he was all happy. That happened till 2009, and then I went back to help Bishop Lennon, and then 2014, that changed, and I went back to St. Monica's, where I am now. So that's where I'm at.
What interests me is becoming the spiritual director for seminarians. I would guess, in listening to them, directing them, you get as much as you gain, as you give.
Exactly. And the same thing is true, Paul, in confessions. I mean, the same thing. You know, sometimes you sit there and you're listening to people and you're really telling yourself something, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's a real gift. And sometimes you wonder where it comes from, and really in belief that we have, that the sacramental life of the church, just like you and your wife having been married, you ask for the grace of the sacrament of matrimony. Well, the same thing with us. We oftentimes, at least myself, I ask for the grace of that sacrament of holy orders to make sure I lead somebody the right way.
I've put this question to several guests, because it came up in conversation with one of the guests, that there was this feeling maybe that by accepting or pursuing a religious vocation, that this individual was giving up something, maybe marriage or whatever, as opposed to gaining something. I thought it was a very interesting comment. Not as many are called to that.
But it's the same thing with marriage. You know, not everybody's called to marriage. I mean, I know people that are single, you know, reasons. And you look at the priesthood, I don't think we've given up anything. I mean, when I think about the people that I've dealt with and some of the intimate experiences of sharing their deepest thoughts and things like that, it isn't giving up. It really isn't. Because if you're following what the Lord wants you to do, you're in the right place.
You're doing the right thing.
You're right. Yeah, right.
We had to laugh. You and I talked before the show. I looked online, as I do with many guests, try to see what I can find out. And this is your sheet. There's nothing on it. I can't find anything online about what I can find, and maybe it gets back to what you just said, are all kinds of people, just kind of, no articles that you've written, no, none of that stuff, but just people have various thank you to Father Marzell for doing this. We wanted to get married, and Father Marzell did that. We wanted, and Father, at our dad's funeral, our dad's wake. All kinds of thank yous, and I guess ultimately that's the calling, to serve, to love.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a fitting tribute on my blank page here. Luckily, we've known one another all these years.
No, true. And I really appreciate the opportunity because I think, you know, after when you turn 80, you know, you think, what the heck, you know. I was on with Bishop Grease the other day for a mass, and he said, well, here are two octogenarians, you know, and I just wanted to, oh, please don't say that, you know. But it's true, you know, and so I'm just grateful for the graces that I've received and the opportunities that I've had, you know, so, yeah.
What would you say to somebody who maybe has an inkling, maybe has a thought, because in secular society today, it's almost looked down on, which is unbelievable to anybody, at least my age or your age, it is, I think.
Yeah. There's always something within that's there that called me. There's a call there. And if you want to listen to it, you'll hear it. You know, and oftentimes, and this is like with the Gospels, the rich man, he's got so many things, you know, you have to let that go. And that's what Jesus says. And sometimes it's hard to let that go. And especially in the commercial, you know, the kind of age we live in today. Mm-hmm. So I just say, you know, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart.
The church is changing in many areas, and Garfield Heights is certainly one of them. You're ministering to a more diverse community now. How does that affect the way things are handled down there? Father Heron is down there right now. I think you've got somebody new coming.
Yeah.
But Father Heron's been down there a long time.
I've lived in the city all my life, and this is not anything new, you know? And the point is that oftentimes I've found, especially at Peter and Paul and also here at Monica's, those are two churches, and even in Nativity in Lorraine, the people are good people. You know, that's Pilla's line, you know, God rest his soul. And that's true. And that's what you learn from. That's what you learn from. And if I don't learn from that, I'm the fool. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the fool.
Strong families seem to go with strong faith.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
And sometimes if they don't have that, you have other individuals that kind of grab to the faith and then kind of run the wrong way with it. Mm-hmm. If, I don't know. It can be, just thinking about some individuals. And I'm not, in here again, when I talk about these things, I'm not judging Paul, really.
No.
I'm not. It's just saying it's there, it's a reality. But having the family is good. But at the same time, those that don't have the family and have done something with their life like that, God bless them. You know, really, and that's following God's call.
Father Ted Marzell, thank you very much for joining us on God Calling. Glad you came. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll be here each and every week at the same time on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.